But let's get open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. And so grateful that last week we sure had a rejoicing. We got to rejoice in these dreams and the visions that were given so sweetly to Joseph. God, he adores us, doesn't he? And I thank the Lord. He said, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Let me tell you something. He had a lot of grace and mercy upon Joseph, didn't he? What a precious brother, and what a thankfulness was in his heart. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He wasn't ashamed of these visions of ruling and reigning, the dreams that God had given him. And just like us, brothers and sisters, with Paul's gospel under the enlightened eyes of understanding. And by the way, you can't see Paul's gospel without the enlightened eyes of understanding. You think of the dreams and visions that he gives to us to see what that gospel is, and not just to see it from afar off. But it was precious visiting with brother in the office just moments ago, that it's mine, it's personally mine. I got a personal savior, but I'll tell you what, I got a personal bridegroom. Amen. And I thank the Lord. Vantage point and vision is everything. You know, I appreciate all the things that we can see in heaven and all the things that are going on that God reveals to us. But I'll tell you what, when I saw that vision from the very first time where I was standing with him in the midst of the throne, looking out upon that innumerable multitude as they praised him, let me tell you something, I want that. And I don't want anything else. That's a one thing, and part of that wonderful one thing that I know he's put that desire in our hearts. So this journey for Joseph to be ruler over all, isn't that amazing? And it's going to get really sweet, brothers and sisters, because think about how full, all the fullness that Joseph has been met with. He's been met with that his father loved him more than everybody. He's been met with, you got the glory robe. He's been met with that he had that fellowship with the father. It was beautiful and exclusive. There was a such an intimate part there. Now, you could think and get mad like the other brothers and think, well, why wasn't it me? Let me tell you something. God knows your heart, and he'll meet you with the word that he knows that you'll meet him with. Let me tell you something. He's a very, very effective and an efficient God. And he doesn't just scatter his word. It's precise. Remember how he says, I'll perform it in the thing that I have sent it to? Think what he sent to you. That's why he sent you. And it's not because you are special. It's because God knew the heart that he gave you. Amen. He knew that you would receive it. See, remember, it's the foreknowledge of God, all right? Whom he foreknew. Them he did predestinate. He predestinated because he foreknew us to have this meeting tonight, to have this Bible study tonight, to have this time that we would come in and fellowship in this wonderful depth of this word of his grace, the bridal message. And I thank God that as Joseph in this type and shadow, as what we're seeing here, the bridal glories in Joseph's life for us, you're going to find out every time Joseph receives something, it's over all. It's over all. Even as we'll read, when he's taken as a slave into Egypt, every time he comes to each and every master, every time he goes into the prison, it's given all to him. Every bit of trust, everything was given to him. Do you understand? When you're given this bridal message, it's just like the virtuous woman. It says of her that the heart of her husband rests and trusts in her. It's all there. See, that's Paul's alls. Amen? It's all. It's all the fullness of God. That you would know all the love of God. That we've been guided into all truth. It's not some. It's not part. It's not a little bit. This is all. And this same theme over and over in this encouragement through Joseph to us, transcending down through all of these centuries, by the grace of God, what was hidden, these things that were written for us. They were written for us. That we enjoy, that the Lord was so in love with us to give us all of this bridal encouragement through our brothers and sisters of the they were full overcomers in the Old Testament. So sweet. But see, all of this was given to Joseph, but it was all by grace. Joseph didn't merit a thing, did he? Grace chose him. And I thank God. And he responded to grace. He didn't just make void that grace. It wasn't vain in his life. He embraced it. He took it. He wasn't ashamed of it. He told of it. Even when ones didn't want to hear it, Joseph was going to tell you. His dad scolded him, but then he said his dad observed, which meant, I'm waiting for that treasure, son. Isn't that beautiful? See what the testimony of the Lord can do? It can change a heart, can it? Don't be ashamed. Don't hide that light under a bushel. It doesn't mean that you have to go out there and be belligerent in this, but whenever you're asked, when someone inquires of the hope that lies within you, tell them. And see, that's when to tell them. That's when you know specifically it was the Lord. You don't have to worry and think about the things you're going to say. He's already given them to you. You just allow the Spirit to give you utterance, and it's a mighty thing. And I thank God that's how he trains us up. But see, Joseph, grace chose him. And he was the son of his father's old age. I pray that thrills you till Jesus come and even beyond into eternity, that we take that same encouragement. We're the sons of the father's old age. We're the last ones, praise be to God. And I thank God that in that, that grace was given to him, that glory robe was given to him, just as the crown of Paul's gospel. We have been given that all by grace. And all he's asked us to do is to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He didn't say earn it to keep it. He didn't say, well, you got to do this. He just said, hold it fast. Take it. I love it. Praise God. Tell him thank you. Be grateful. Rejoice in it. And then as you fall in love with it, you want to know more and more about it. And I thank God. Would you not say it's endless? I believe so, praise God. And once again, I will remind us, it said, heaven and earth going to pass away. But the word of the Lord, this right here, is going to remain and abide forever. And I thank God. Think about, as you hold that word, and you think of the depth that the Holy Spirit shows us in it, yea, the deep things of God by his Spirit. But then again, what is in here? What will we enjoy when we have a body like unto his own? When I have a brain like Jesus, and when I have a body like him, and all of those things, praise God, that I get to enjoy with him. And I'll tell you what, I thank God I enjoy him right now. I really so thank God how he cares for me. And I know you do too. Don't you just love to tell him that? Tell him, thank you, Lord, how you love me, how you care for me, how you brought me to this place to hear your word. You've given me an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and especially the Church of Philadelphia. And I believe it. I'm asking the Lord, if it see fit. Lord, I do. I want to meet you in the air. I want to be alive and remaining till you come. But if he takes me in the subway, man, I'll tell you what, I'm taking that ticket too, you know. We're there. But we saw that even though he was encouraged in the truth, this Joseph, all that truth that he was shown, his brethren, they didn't like it, and they rejected him. Not only did they reject him, they hated him. And you know the story. They hate him so much, they want to kill him. And what happens when the truth begins to be revealed in your life, the suffering begins. Because it's going to be a proven thing, brothers and sisters. He's going to prove his love in you and his love for him. And that's the way it's going to be. It's going to continue all that way by the grace of God. Until we're in the midst of the throne glory with him. It must be that way. But let's go ahead and pick it up from verse 12, and let's read this together. It says, and his brethren went to feed their flock, the father's flock, in Shechem. So think of that. So right before that it says, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Now, what that speaks of right there is instead of his brothers going on with him, they turn back. And that's literally the meaning of Shechem, is to turn back, to literally even turn your back. So that's where his brethren went. They went to the place where they turned their back. Now I want you to notice something. There's a flock for them, isn't there? Oh, yes, there is a flock there. Matter of fact, it's the majority of the flock is at the place of turning back. The greatest number of Christians, brothers and sisters, have not went on. And that's the truth. The greatest company that we'll ever see in numbers in heaven will be that of the innumerable multitude. They were the ones that left their first love. So we know that parting, that word left, it's a divorce. It's a turning away. It's a turning back. Brother Hill used to speak of that so sweetly in the halfway house, getting to that point halfway, getting too tired, not willing to go on, and turning back. Now, brothers and sisters, we know by the grace of God, we're called to go on. There's a calling. There's a high calling. It's a love calling. It's an incredible calling. It's a passion that the Lord puts in our heart that, you know, we endure hardness as good soldiers. We go through the wilderness. We go through times that are not pleasant. But by the grace of God, we go on. And I pray that we will be part of that little rib portion of those living ones that will rule and reign with him. Now, verse 13, it says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed thy flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I." Now, this reveals the heart of Joseph once again. I think this is so beautiful. He's willing to go right into the conflict, isn't he? When his father directs him to go, he goes. When his father says, you know, when the spirit turns to the left, he turns to the left, and turns to the right, he turns to the right, you know, that he's just got straight feet, and he's attentive to the word of God. And, you know, sometimes, and a lot of times, it's not really an appealing thing to us when the Lord tells us to enter in with ones we don't like. When we enter in, and not necessarily that we don't like, but they don't like us, and that refuse us and actually hate us. But God always has more, and we need to listen and be obedient by the grace of God for his best. He puts us in situations. I think a lot of times, even in a workplace, you know what I'm saying? He'll have you in situations and things that could be miserable. But God, did he not order that for your life? Did he make a mistake for you but not for the other person? No, he didn't. He knows what he's doing. Oftentimes, I feel a lot of times in our life, we're trying to get out of something as opposed to receive what God got us into. You know what I'm saying? And to understand that. And so we're so much put into fretting and being miserable about our environment as about taking the opportunity to seek God and go into that peace, that perfect peace that passes all understanding, that, Lord, I'm here by your grace. You work in me to do this heartily unto you. And I'll tell you, you will really grow somewhere with God. And I think Joseph is a radiant testimony of this over and over. But I love Joseph's response here. You know, he heard something that wasn't real appealing, I'm sure, in a lot of ways. But his response was just like Samuel's. Remember Samuel? When the Lord called for him, and he went to the priest and he said, "Here am I." He kept coming and saying, "Here am I." Do you say that when the Lord speaks to you? I believe you do. You wouldn't be here tonight. Here am I. I just want to hear you. I don't really have much anything to bring you, but I thank you, Lord, and thank you for loving me, and here am I. Always showing up for the present, always present for the word of the Lord. By God's grace, always willing to move into more truth. Now listen to this. Always willing to move into more truth, no matter how it looks or how uncomfortable it may be. Jesus, give us that heart. Amen. God, continue to encourage us. And see, what did the Lord encourage Joseph with already to have him to have this heart like this? Gave him everything, didn't he? He did. He said, "You're my favorite." He said, "I love you more than all." He said, "Here's the glory coat. You got it all, son." Didn't he do that with you too? I know he did. He did that with me. And you know what? He loves you just the same. And he did the same thing for your life. So before you even got to this place of really suffering, he gave you all that glory. He gave you all that love. That's the glory, is his love. He's given you all that. So you're all prepared. And now he says, "Okay, I want you to abide as my readied wife. We've signed the marriage contract. I'm all in. I ain't going nowhere. I'm never going to move. My love's forever." I'll tell you what, You know, even sometimes you don't believe, no, I'm going to abide faithful. I love you that much. I know who I made. But I know that faith. I was thinking about Jesus, how Peter, you know, he said to him, you know, Satan's going to sift you like wheat. But he said, you know, I'm not going to fear for you. I'm not going to be troubled about it because I prayed for your faith that it wouldn't fail. Now, let me tell you something. You sit there and you deny Christ three times. I think everybody in 100% would say, man, your faith failed. But the Lord said, your faith will fail not. And so once again, I go back and I said, well, thank you, Jesus, because I realize I live by the faith of the Son of God. How could his faith fail? Amen? Amen. Do you see why even when we believe not, he abides faithful? Come on now, you gotta let grace really wrap around you for that one. But I believe it'll squeeze you so tight you'll just surrender to it someday. And just don't let it be too late. I tell you, you don't want to miss this. It's too good. But let's go on now. Keep throwing my glasses around here. I have so much fun with them. They're more like a prop, but I can't see anymore. But verse 14. And he said unto me, and he said unto him in verse 14, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now, the Father sometimes sends us to those that are struggling. I see lots of different layers in this. There's a lot of beauty in this. You know, his brothers were struggling. They were just downright ornery. And I think about Paul being sent to the Corinthians. Paul didn't want to go there, did he? Aren't you thankful that we have the first and second Corinthian letters? Could you even imagine life without those? Those are gems. Well, the Lord had to prepare his heart with a bunch of squirrels and then say, I'm going to give you the word of the Lord for them. He's prepared squirrels like us to receive the jewels of heaven. Isn't it awesome? I love it. But that's how God does it. And I smile to think, thank you for this revelation, Lord, that, you know, let me be willing. Let me be willing. Now, again, this isn't to compromise my fellowship. But when the Lord divinely has you to go somewhere and to fellowship in something, I tell you what, you better be all in with him. Believe him, and I'll tell you what, you'll get some depths in glory, just like a letter in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Aren't you thankful for all the bridal glory in that? Oh my goodness, the ranks in the resurrection. Paul being able to witness to us. I don't know if I was in or out of the body. I was taken up in there, and man, I'll tell you one thing, I glory in that man. How would I ever seen what I seen with all of that without those letters that he wrote back to a group and a place that he really didn't want to be? Amen? See how beautiful this is? I mean, I just think of how many, you know, people say, you know, I want it to be practical. The Bible don't get any more practical than this. This is it. But you see what practical is. It's just, it's beyond that. It's just being. You know, let Christ be in you. I was thankful to hear today, as Brother Hill used to say too, it's so sweet, you know, fish don't think how to swim, they just swim. Huh? They just swim. Huh? Well, I don't have to think about what would Jesus do. He's going to do it. I feed on this. He will do it. Praise God. Now, you notice here that God had a plan in it. And we may not understand, but we know he withholds nothing good from us, does he? Think of how you can face everything by the grace of God. He's promised, I withhold nothing good from you. How many verses? I'll perfect that which concerns you. Romans 8:28. All of these different things. Over and over he reminds us because he's a God that loves us. And we know that when God talks about good, it's beyond anything we could ever ask or think. It's amazing. But notice what the Father wants. He wants the fellowship of encouragement that Joseph will bring back. He always wants that encouragement through and with Joseph. You see the type in Christ in this. It's so beautiful. We know that Joseph is a magnificent type of Christ. But I'm going to ask you, Aren't we supposed to grow up into him in all things just like sister prayed? Amen. And I believe that these things, by the grace of God, will be evident. That the fruit of the Spirit will be very evident in the bride. Amen. And we're thankful who's the fullness of that. And that's our precious Savior and our bridegroom. So here's what happens. He sends Joseph, think of this as it says there. He says, and he sent him out of the vale of Hebron. Now, he sends him out of this place to the place of testing. This is going to be the place where his faith, I'll tell you that expression, the rubber hits the road, that faith is really going to hit the road. It's going to come to the proof now. Do you love the word of God, Joseph? Do you love the vision and that prophecy that I showed you? Do you believe this is real? Are you going to quit? Are you wanting to end your life? Are you going to be bitter and angry and tell me how much you don't like the way that I'm doing this? Are you going to trust me this is the only way for you, Joseph, that you're going to rule and reign? Praise God. I thank the Lord how he dovetailed Sunday into this. It's so beautiful. Now, get this. Out of the veil. The veil means the blessing. Out of the blessing. And Hebron means where we were joined. So think of it. Out of the place, the blessing, we were joined. He sent him out. How many times over and over do we hear, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown? Amen. The bridal contract has been signed. Trust him now. Now, by the grace of God, go fight the good fight of faith. Yeah. Go live the life, praise God, that I put before you. Walk. Walk in it. Abide. You talk about an occupy until I come. I want to occupy in Paul's gospel, alive and living in me, till he come. So I just love that. He sent him out of the blessing of the place where we were joined. And where does he send him? He sent him to the place where literally he's going to be killed, in a way, if it wasn't for God. But that's what was going down here. But this is the value and the love that God is proving in us. Do we love that high calling? Do we love the exalted rank of righteousness crown for him? For him. And thank you, Jesus, for this. And see, here's the thing too. You have to know what you are fighting for before you're ever going to be sent out to fight. I see this over and over in Christianity, especially with missions. They send these kids out for missions. They have no message. It's like that runner. Well, I want to run. Let me run. He got there. You don't have anything to say. You just spent your wheels. You're never going to fight a good fight unless you know what you're fighting for. You're never going to run with purpose to win unless you know the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You'll be a runner that just beats the air. You'll be a builder instead of the gold, silver, and precious stone. It'll be wood, hay, and stubble. And that's the truth. And this is what God is encouraging through this. Now, it seems disheartening sometimes. Why would God send him to the place of the backslider? Why back to those brothers that hate him? Think about different ones. Think about Jonah. He didn't want to go there, did he? But God had purpose and God had gain. Gain beyond what he could ever imagine. And by the grace of God, let's go by faith. Because you know what? We'll never understand it with the mind. You try to square something up in your brain with what you think you see. You might as well quit right now because it's not going to work. You're going to get all excited and you're going to see exactly how God is just laying out your life. And man, you're happy and singing. And then bam, you got hit. I mean, you got hit by the glory truck. And the glory truck had to take you down and give you such wonderful humbling and humility and meekness that you never would have had. And then you start to be quickened. I'm his workmanship. My thoughts aren't his thoughts. My ways aren't his ways. And my choice ain't his choice. And his choice ain't man's choice. Go back to them Gentile brides if you start to get a little bit haughty. You start getting a little puffed up. Go read about Tamar again. Go read about Bathsheba. Huh? Oh, I love to tell people. I love it like I can't even tell you. When I just kind of start to get that legal feeling. That legal feeling, you know, it kind of hit me. Ooh, it's just, it's got a stench. You got to be able to smell it out now. And I love to tell them about Bathsheba. I said, oh, yeah. You know, it would have been so much better for her to be that faithful, you know, and just live that happy life with Uriah and never even known her in the Word of God. Never would she come to the place of marrying the king. Oh, keep eating on that till he come. Never let that go. Because that's not a one-time enlightenment. That's over and over. Because your flesh, it's a sinful flesh. And it'll keep moving towards that. Because there's a fight that's got to go on. I sure love you. I love that your love is grace. Makes me glad. Because he's glad. Amen. Now, here it goes. Even though it's a place where we'll be injured, I believe he said, in my faithfulness, I've afflicted you. Amen. And that place he's going to be injured is Shechem, the backsliding place. God has a mighty more plan in it that we're going to see. Verse 15. Now, he sends him out there to Shechem to see his brethren. Takes him out of the place of the blessing where they were joined. I think about the cherubim there, amen. You got that picture in your heart? Praise the Lord. And a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? Kind of an interesting thing happened here. And we're going to find out this man that finds Joseph wandering in the field. We read about him just doing one thing. He directs him to a place called Dothan. All right? But he meets this man in the field. So we got Joseph. He obeyed and he went and he met a certain man. There's always a certain man, but this is a special certain man. Matter of fact, this word certain means a husband. You can't make this stuff up. You just can't. Go back and look. This means a certain one. He met a husband. He met a champion. He had an appointment with him. It's precise timing with God every single time. And where was he? He was wandering in a field. Now I'm going to tell you, this literally means, this translate, he was in error in a wild place. Joseph was in error in a wild place. Now, I always read about Joseph, and I thought he was just this perfect guy. I thought he never had a bad thought. Oh, Lord, you just did. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my brothers are going to sin. Oh, man, thank you, guys. I'm happy about this. I never read about him fussing. But this one really got me. I loved it. It reveals he was wandering in a field. He was in error in a wild place. This reveals that we're not always faithful, are we? Even when God sends us out, even when we have such great enlightenment, even when by the grace of God we've seen such height and glory and walked with him, and he's personally put that robe on us, told us we're his favorite. You're my choice, my dove, my fair one. And yet, we're sheep. And not making any excuses, dumb sheep. Oop. Yeah. And he does it purposefully. We're not always faithful. We're not always obedient. Even when we have set off to follow the word. Amen? But God. But God. Oh, but God. You know, I mean, think about even Peter. Peter really set his heart to go after God, didn't he? I mean, he really did. He loved the Lord. He was called by Jesus. And people, you know, mocked that and different things. You know that. A fisherman. It wasn't just because he had a better gig. He loved Jesus. Thou art the Christ. Where else are we going to go? And he did. He had a purpose in his heart. But that wasn't good enough, was it? God had more for him. And even though he had a purpose, I'll tell you what. I think Peter found himself in a wandering field, didn't he? He was in error in a wild place. As he sat there and said, I don't know him. Huh? And it wasn't just isolated to these two. It's all of us. It's all of us. He's got to show us over and over, he's a God of mercy and he loves his mercy. And he loves his grace. And he loves his forgiveness. And he loves you to love it. And he loves you to rise up from it. And he loves you to embrace him, thank him, and have praise that you would never have for him. Because if you got it all right and did it all, you would be praised. As Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, which is filthy rags, but that I would be found having the righteousness of God. I know if there was anything I could do, I'd have some of mine. I thank God. He's weakened me in the way that the power of Christ be resting on my life. And I'm beginning, by the grace of God, to enjoy it. As I entered in, I might have called it strange for a moment, but then I looked back into that precious word and he said, don't you think these things strange? Fiery son, but you're coming forth more precious than gold for me. So, even when we're otherwise minded, he'll make it known unto us. Amen? So Joseph thought he was set out for something where his father told him he was going to go, but he met a certain man. Think about you in the gospel. Now, I've grown up in this truth, still had to come to the revelation and enlightened eyes of understanding to see it. But there's some that have come in here that have been Christians pretty much all their lives too. Had wonderful thoughts and wonderful aspirations for the word of God. And you were thought you were going a direction and that God had sent you. And I'm not saying he didn't, but he had more for you. And everyone that has ever received the bridal message has always come to the place of the certain man. You had to meet the bridegroom. You had to meet that champion. So I can conclude we were all wandering at one time. Even in a place of an error. You think Apollos had that a little bit too? Think about his life. He had a fervent heart for God, didn't he? He preached the word of God with such boldness. But there was a couple that came to him and showed him the way more perfectly. That was the moment Apollos met that certain man. Praise God. It's all here, isn't it? Over and over. Same story told, but never grows old. He knows our heart, and he'll be faithful to perform it. And it's often in our rebellion. And let's remember, he's a God who loves mercy. And I love this life of Joseph, his tender heart and exuberance to share the word of God that was revealed to him. But as always, remember this, Joseph was just like us, just a man. Amen. Fallible, unruly at times. And this little portion of the wandering in the wilderness, this meaning of the place of error, I'll tell you what, it encouraged my heart in a great way that I've never been encouraged in this portion of Scripture before. I said, oh yeah, he is like me. Praise God. All right. I guess it's, well, never mind. All right. Verse 16. And he said, I seek my brethren. So he tells this man, he says, and a certain man found him, this is 15, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. So this is a very, very, very sweet thing. He's asking him. He has this desire. He wants to see them. And here's what the man says in verse 17. And the man said, "They are departed hence. For I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Now, this, it just gets over the top. This voice of this man, it revives Joseph. Joseph was in a field wandering. You know that, right? And we saw that this was a place of error. He was wandering in error in this discouragement place. But the word from the certain man, the bridegroom, the champion, it revives him. See, Paul's gospel quickens your mind. Paul's gospel quickens your heart. Paul's gospel is that second wind over and over and over and over again. That even when you're wandering, it strikes you. And he says to him, "I want to find my brothers and feed that flock. I want to go fellowship in the word of God." He still has that heart. It's incredible. But the incredibleness is the faithfulness of the Lord to always give us more. See, this is the plan. The plan is always the double portion with God. It's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So when he says they've gone to Dothan, let me tell you what the meaning of Dothan is. It's the place of not just one well, it's the place of two wells. It means the place of two wells. It's a place of a double portion. It's a place of even more. So he wasn't going, even though he thought he was going to go. He was a good Christian. See, good Christian. I'm going to go in a good Christian way, and I'm going to end up over here in this land of Shechem with a palm. But God said, "Oh, no, you're not. I'm going to have you meet a certain man. I'm going to have you receive the bridal message. I've got an appointment with you in the Holy Ghost and all truth. And it's going to change the direction of your life, and you're not going there. I've got a place for you. It's called Dothan. Everything's going to happen there because you're going to get the double portion of the word of God." Do you think whom he foreknew, he did predestinate? Huh? You think that movie called Glory Road, you talk about a glory road for you. Your glory for him. So how sweet. This is a sweet thing. But Joseph, even in a place of error, but God is so merciful, he's going to give him more. And he knows exactly what he needs to receive more. And as the story goes on, it's going to be the place where in his faithfulness he afflicts us. But he's got to continue to give us more and more of the word of God to go on. Amen. You think about the prophets, even after they went through such great encouragement of the Lord. You know, I think about Elijah so much after, you know, them prophets were all killed and, you know, God destroyed them, sent down the fire from heaven and just sucked up all the water and all of that. Man, he knew. I mean, that guy was walking on water until he took four steps and he said, "Oh, that woman's going to kill me." And I know we laugh at that, but that's us. That's us in just a moment of time. But how did he revive him? Fed him. Fed him the word of God. "I want to just lay down and die." "No, you ain't. You are not going to die, son. I got too much invested in you. I got a chariot appointment with you. I've got a meeting in the air with you." How many bridal types you want, huh? They'll never end. If you want them, what do you want to see? What vision do you want to have? Praise God. So these are the things that continue to be revealed over and over and over. So Joseph is going to be sent to this place, literally, of death. It's awaiting him. But it will always be the place of much the more. It's always going to be the greatest blessing that's awaiting us. You think about what was awaiting Christ. The death on the cross. Amen? But it was the place of glory. It was the place where it would be finished. It would be the place where it would be the most pleasing to the Father. Amen? Oh, it pleased the Father to bruise him. Son, you're going to bring more and these sons to glory. Praise God. How marvelous. And I'll tell you what, for us, we go to this place because it's the privilege to suffer with him, to reign with him. So here, as we close this up, he's at the place of the exceeding abundance, the place of two wells. And that is where, in verse 18, it says, "And when they saw him," these are his brothers, "they saw him afar off." See, the palm wavers shall see the glory afar off. Gets better here. Hang in there. You should even lose it after we get to the end of this one. But it says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh." So, you know, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He, they thought, was going down, but God was taking him to the place where, the only place where he could go up. And it's the truth. And see, it's only God that works this way in our lives, brothers and sisters. We try to make the fluffy nest. God puts the thorns in there to get us out to fly and to soar. Without the thorns, we'd never take the flight into the heights he desires. And then once we're airborne, I'll tell you, if you missed that message up at camp by Sweet Tammy, that was precious to hear. You'll become an eagle that might even be so crazy, you'll seek out the storm. I mean the real bad ones. We don't even do that in airplanes, do we, Ty? We kind of get away from them. But them eagles, they'll go find the biggest updrafts. Because them's the storms that will take them the highest. They seek out the fiercest to go to the highest. And I'll tell you what glory awaits us if we'll let him take us. But note what the brothers say. This is so good. The dreamer cometh. That translates, the ruler has come. And yes, praise be to God, we know that that is our Lord. But with the vision of who I am in Christ, and Christ in me, the hope of glory, I believe I'm transforming to be glorified together with him. And it's Christ in me, the hope of glory too. And I thank God, I've had some ornery brethren that God has allowed me to talk to him a little bit about this before. And I've even heard him mock my mom. I've said it before. Oh, she's just a dreamer. Let me tell you something. The camels are coming. And you know who's on them camels? The kings. The rulers. The ones that he's waiting for to take the throne with him. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.